Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we're going to be continuing in our how-to series. I think I labeled it wrong the last time I did. I labeled it I wanted to title it the Big Five How-Tos, but I think I put the Big Four. So anyway, if you guys are just hearing this, this is kind of a five-part series. And the last few things we've talked about is how to talk to sellers about creative financing, how to talk to agents about creative financing, how to write up the paperwork. And I think that's kind of where we were going to leave it. But then we added on how to use down payments. And we'd also like to talk about how to make multiple offers and how to make your offers stand out from one another so that you're not just offering, you know, $5,000 more to your seller if they hold it for five more years or something like that. So this episode, we're going to be talking about how to use a down payment and things that you should be thinking about right up front before even offering a down payment. So Jeff, I think you wanted to talk about this because a lot of people don't know, you know, what to offer down, and they just, you know, a lot of people minds just, especially sellers, just go to the 20%, right? I want 20% down.
Right.
And we always talk about getting in light, and we have to get in light to be able to make deals work. You know, we can't, especially if you're wholesaling a deal, right? You can't offer your seller 20% down and then, you know, try to shop it out to one of your buyers for 25 or 30% down, unless there's some other incredible terms. But it usually does not work if you have to put a huge down payment. So let's dive into that, Jeff, and let's talk about how you use down payments and go from there.
And one of the things that I noticed, you know, I scan a lot of Facebook groups, and you know, a lot of people are involved in Pace Morby's group where he loves Subject 2, and which is fine. Subject 2 is certainly a great strategy to use, but I think people get overly excited when they hear like, oh, I might be able to take this property Subject 2, and then say, hey, we'll pay you all of your equity, and that equity is 30% of the purchase price. And it's like, wait a minute, why would an investor put down 30 or 35% down payment just to take over existing debt? I get that they get to avoid going to the bank and qualifying for a loan, but it basically defeats the purpose, right? Some of the equations that we look at to determine if this is really a good deal, one of them is cash on cash return. And the higher the down payment, lower, we need the cash flow to continue to go up. And on a Subject 2, it's potentially going to put us at a much lower cash on cash return with the more money out of our pocket. So that's one of the things that you want to look at is, I'm not saying that you couldn't sell a property for 20 or 25% down payment, but you are going to have a much more difficult time doing it. And So what I always like to go back to is, if we're looking to wholesale a property, right? So it's that we're looking at two different things here. Well, one is, are we looking to be the buyer? And if we're the buyer, then we should really have our own prerequisites as far as, you know, what are we willing to come with a down payment? And I would tell you that if the best you're able to negotiate is a 15 to 20, 25% down payment, and these are properties you're buying, well, you're kind of defeating the purpose, because, you know, the goal is to be able to get in light, be able to buy a lot of these and not have to qualify for loans.
Right.
But, you know, if for whatever reason you loved a particular deal, for some reason, maybe your exit strategy doesn't really matter as much as far as the down payment, then it could be all right. And I'll show you one in a second that would fit that bill. But if we're looking at more longer term financing, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 10 plus years, the goal is to get in light. And let's, and I know that people are asking, well, what does that mean? Right, Jonathan?
Yeah, what is light?
So this is what I like to do. I like to figure out who is going to be my potential end buyer. And we've gone through this exercise countless times on different episodes, right?
Yep.
Can you name the potential end buyers that we would be selling this property to?
So landlords, and then owner occupants, and then, you know, if it's a fix and flip, you'd be looking for a flip guy,
a rehabber. Yep.
Rehabber.
Yep. So. And then I like to add one more, which is if we're looking at potentially wholetailing or retailing the property, right, where we would actually buy it short term and then just clean it up or, you know, put it right back on the market.
The old wholetail, retail buyer then. Yeah. Owner occupant, retail buyer.
Right.
Landlord.
So, let me give you an example based on that, because we just did one. So we bought a property here in Utah, and that we're in a very, very hot market, and where most properties are under contract within 2 weeks, and many of them go under contract with multiple offers, and things are selling for outrageous amounts of money right now, just like a lot of other parts of the country.
Right.
So we have a lead that actually we were dealing with 2 years ago, that he contacted us and said, all right, I'm ready to sell if you can give me the price that I want. And so we agreed to $515,000. This is a 6,000 square foot home. And when we ran our comps, we weren't really able to find any comps. There just wasn't anything even remotely close to the size of this property that had sold in this area in the last year. But what we did know was that it was significantly undervalued. Not quite sure, you know, if this was a $700,000 neighborhood or not, but and it was dated. It wasn't in bad shape by any means, but needed some updating, needed some cleanup. And what we did is, so he came back with the price, 515, and I made two offers, because he needed his money to go do something else. And his money was about $155,000. So that was his equity.
Uh-huh.
His goal was, the reason he came to us is that he needed that money quickly to go do something else. So what we did is we made him two offers. One offer was cash, and it came in just under 515. It was maybe like 502, something like that. Uh-huh. And then we made him a short-term finance offer. And that short-term finance offer was for the 515 with a down payment of $155,000. And then we would just take over existing debt. We would make the monthly payment for 6 months. That's the term of the loan. Okay.
Okay.
So I already knew that that wouldn't be a problem for him because he wasn't buying a new house. What he was doing was buying an investment in some land. And what the goal was is he could get it a good deal and he was going to flip it and make a nice profit. And so really what we needed to do was just structure something where he could get all of his money now. So yeah. What would you rather do, Jonathan? Would you rather pay let's say it was 515 and go borrow hard money on it? And you know, you may or may not, you probably have relationships where you don't have to put money down. But you know, you're going to pay for it, right?
Yeah, definitely costs.
In Utah, pretty much the going hard money rate is 2 points and 12% interest, pretty much. You can find some variations, but pretty much. So if you were going to finance, you know, let's say $500,000, and let's say you were going to hold this property for 3 months, that's going to be $5,000 a month in interest plus the 2 points, another $10,000. So you're into it for $25,000.
Just in hard money costs for
that's right. Months. That's right. And yeah, to me, I knew that we had a deal. I just didn't know to what extent, right? So, and I'll show you what we did. We put the property up for sale for $740,000, and all we did was clean up the we did a little paint patching. It cost $500, so not much, and we cleaned it up, which also cost $500, and then we did a little bit of landscaping, and that was it. No more. And we were hoping to take advantage of the craziness that is going on here. Well, we got a good price. We got $660,000, but you know, significantly less than our $740,000. But we took it, and we were done within, you know, a little over 2 months total, and made about, what was it, $135,000 minus $145,000 minus some real estate commissions. We paid 2.5% commissions. I have a realtor on our team. And so that would justify coming up with a big down payment because one, it's really short term and it serves a purpose, right? I mean, the purpose is I didn't incur any of that interest. I was able to just bring that money to the table. Now, maybe I didn't have that money available, and maybe I needed to borrow that money and borrow it in second position or on another piece of property. It probably still would have been worth it because it's a much smaller amount than the $515,000. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. So you guys put down 155K. Was that his equity? Was that all of his?
Yes, all of his equity.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. So then now when we closed, he didn't get any more money. His underlying loan got paid off.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
So that just got paid off. Cool. And how did you guys structure that deal? You didn't do a subject too. Did you give them recourse?
So we did it as contract for deed only because we could have done it subject to, we could have done it all inclusive, or we could have done it as contract for deed. And really the difference is contract for deed, the title was going to stay in his name, and we wouldn't have done that. Actually, that wasn't what was presented to him. But he came back with some concerns and it really didn't matter to me. So
yeah,
I was willing to do any of the three. It did not matter. Subject to would have worked fine here. I like using subject to, especially when I'm in control of it and or it's short term. In this case, it was both. And all inclusive would have just meant that, and that's what I think we presented to him to begin with. It might have been subject to, I don't remember. Either subject to or all inclusive would have made it where our company would have been on title. And even though it was really short term, and even if the bank were to find out and try to call the loan due, it wouldn't have really mattered. But I think he was more concerned. I don't know why. He was more concerned if we defaulted. And I'm like, do you really think we're going to default when I'm giving you $155,000? And he was getting, over 30% down.
Yeah. So that's not getting in light.
No, it was not. but there was a clear exit, right? So
yeah.
This wouldn't have made sense if what the goal was is to, maybe he didn't need this money. Maybe he was just done, right? And we made him some offers on a 3-year term or a 5-year or 7-10 year term. And our goal would be to sell to an owner occupant. Now, if we're putting 30% down, how much can we expect, Jonathan, that, realistically, it certainly will vary.
10 to 20.
10% is, I would not commit myself to any more that when I'm planning on selling to an owner occupant, I want to be making money where I am selling at a 10% down payment. If I can't make money at 10%, I think you're rolling the dice a bit. You might get 15%, you might even get 20 or more percent, but I wouldn't go into the deal thinking that. Going in thinking you will get 10% from an owner-occupant is a very safe bet, especially right. If the house is in a good area and you're in a seller's market and all of that kind of stuff. Pretty safe bet. Right. What if I was selling this, and this could have been a rental? It was kind of a funky house. It had 3 kitchens. He was renting it out by the room. You could have had 3 separate families living there. The rents, I don't think would have truly justified using it as a rental, but let's say that it did. And so let's say, okay, now our goal is, hey, we could sell this property to a landlord or an owner occupant. If our goal is, all right, maybe a landlord, what do you think's the most amount that we would want to commit ourselves in terms of a down payment?
10%.
I think you're probably right. And maybe a little bit more, because perhaps you can sell it for 15, 17, maybe even as much as 20% down if the rest of the terms are good or the term is long.
Yeah.
Landlords will still okay paying the 20% down as long as they got good terms and therefore a while. And you might be able to still do that. Now, if it's not a good deal, then it's still not a good deal with 20% down, right?
Yep.
So the rest of the terms better be enticing or else you're not going to get your 20%. So that's what we mean by getting in light. And light can mean different things based on what your potential exit strategy is.
And also the condition of the property as well.
No doubt.
And that's another factor that you need to consider when you're offering a down payment. Like in your case, Jeff, you're offering a down payment, with your example at 155, but you guys still had to put money into it to wholetail it. Now that wasn't very much, but
it was not very much. No,
but if your exit strategy was to even sell it to a landlord and say, you know, the property needed $20,000 in work just to make it habitable, that makes a big difference as well, because, you know, now your landlord has to put up, pay you 15% down for your terms and then bring another 20,000, and that may not work for them. Sure. Right. So that's another, I just wanted to mention that that's another thing to keep in mind. And of course, you know, it varies on property to property, and it's always going to. I actually like the fact that you brought up the example of putting 30% down, because you really show, I mean, we compare and contrast those things, right? Yep. Because you can see this property where you're whole tailing it and there's a clear exit strategy, and, you know, the property is in decent shape. It just needs a little, you know, spit shine. And then there's, you know, other properties where that just wouldn't work on. And, you know, if you're trying to wholesale it to a landlord, you know, that it would never work at 155, right?
Right.
Or even to an owner occupant, it would never work at 155. And you might find an owner occupant with that much down, but it's not likely.
Yeah. Well, I think what we'll do, I want to show you one other quick example, because you'll start to see that maybe the reason why I'm offering certain down payments. But I'm thinking maybe we should extend this to a second episode where I can show you how to get your down payment up in some cases that would allow you to still get the seller maybe that 15 or 20% or more even, and still allow you to purchase the property. So but really quick before we kind of wrap this one up, so I have a property, a lead in New York. I'm just waiting for her to sign a contract with us. And she was asking 145, 146, I think, for the property. I think this property is worth 350. And it's going to need a lot of work, but you know, this would be a good one to potentially either wholesale with terms, or, you know, to a rehabber, or to wholetail. And again, what our offers were, we had a cash offer, it was below what she was asking. And then we have a short-term finance offer where she's getting her price. And what I realized is that she needed some money now. You know, she'd like to be done with this whole thing now, but I'm trying to figure out a way to entice her to accept the short-term finance offer. And so on the $146,000 purchase price, I offered her $40,000 down. And, you know, if need be, I would have gone to 50. One, because 50,000 to a rehabber, to me, is very doable, right? We can just send money over, or it's very easy to borrow that type of money. And then the rest of the terms were $800 a month, principal only, for 8 months. Mm-hmm. And so if she came back and said, well, I need 50 or I need 55, I'd be willing to do it. Because it's still better than me going and borrowing hard money. And then I'd have to go find a hard money lender in that area, or use one of mine that may lend in New York. But I'd much rather use this seller. And I mean, just for the $800 principal only payment, right?
Yeah.
At least then I'm getting principal pay down as opposed to paying interest only. So keep in mind, if it's a short-term kind of thing, we can pay more. And it becomes a lot less of an issue because it's short-term. I already know within a few months, I'm going to have my money back. But if, again, she wanted, we were making her offers on longer-term financing where our buyers are going to be landlords or owner-occupants, now we need to get in significantly lighter.
Right.
So
We haven't even scratched the surface on, you know, seller subordination.
Well, and that's what we are going to chat about.
that's what I thought.
Yep.
Yep. So yeah, let's end it here then, Jeff, and we'll jump into the next one. Guys, I hope that you've been enjoying this content. Thank you so much for listening. We know that there is a ton of real estate podcasts out there, but none of them talk about the things that we talk about on this show, to my knowledge. I don't know. Is there another real estate podcast out there that teaches you how to use a financial calculator, Jeff?
I don't know, but the one thing that I know that we do that if any other people do, it's not many, is that we're giving real life stuff. This is stuff that you would get in a classroom after you've paid $5,000.
Right.
This is real information. This is stuff that we're using in our business right now that we're sharing with our listeners. So, and our goal has always been from day one, we wanted to bring value.
Right. So guys, go out there and rate and review our show. It really helps spread the word for us so that we can continue to bring you guys great content around creative financing. If you guys are interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, it's a nationwide kind of wholesaling program that Jeff offers. It's his apprenticeship. You guys need to email Rebecca, that's Rebecca at weofferoptions.com. You can find all of our episodes at the Creative Financing Podcast. .com. That's our archive. For sure, if you guys have not joined our Facebook group, it's the Creative Financing Podcast Facebook group. Get on there and join that. And if you guys need help structuring a deal, definitely post it there, because we're trying to build that community to be able to help one another out and give some direction in real time. What else am I missing here, Jeff?
We just had 500 people. We just reached 500 people in the
Facebook group. Yeah, in the Facebook group. Yeah. Yep.
So, but we're growing that. Share that. Get involved in that. Actually, I think, and we'll talk about this after the show, Jonathan. But I had an idea where we'll post in our Facebook group, and I think after this series, we'll ask for people that want to be on the show with us that just want to ask questions. And so we'll do kind of a Q&A with some of our listeners.
Yeah, cool. I love that idea. So stay tuned for that. And then, guys, if you haven't already, go and text Creative Financing or CFP to 877-409-8090 to get special access to a step-by-step video that Jeff put together on structuring offers, various offers on a single family home. And he takes you right through to the exit strategy. So go get that if you have not already. That's kind of a no-brainer. And then guys, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.